Welcome to the Daily Devotion with Pastor Terry Reynolds.
It's so good to be with you today as we are in Matthew chapter 17, beginning in verse 22, where we see where Jesus is prophesying of the cross. Jesus is now leading his disciples back to the area of Galilee. In verse 22, we read, "Now while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men.'" Of course, after a short period of ministry in the far northern area of Israel near Caesarea Philippi, that's where we were last week as we were together, Jesus now leads his disciples back to a familiar area known as the Sea of Galilee, actually in a fishing village in the northern part called Capernaum. Really what they're saying is when they were saying they were staying in Galilee, literally the text says that they were gathering together there. The contents really does suggest that they remained in the area for some time as Jesus taught them. So at this point, Jesus began to spend less time with the multitude and more time with the disciple. Of course, you know, it's almost to the end. And so he wanted to give them, for lack of better words, a finishing school, per se, to get him prepared to tell them what the things are going to be happening real shortly. And so Jesus is going to teach his disciples of the cross. In verse 22, it says, "Now while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, 'The Son of Man is about to be betrayed in the hands of men.'" In verse 23, it tells us, "And they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again." He will rise up. "And they were exceedingly sorrowful." Of course, this is the third time Matthew's record where Jesus predicts his death, his burial, and resurrection. We saw that earlier in chapter 16, verse 21, and earlier even in this chapter, verse 12. I don't believe that these specific occasions were the only time Jesus taught about what was about ready to happen, where he was trying to let them know. Jesus said he would be betrayed in the hands of men. Charles Spurgeon said in this way, "For man he lived, by man he is betrayed, and by man he died." Further, Jesus said they will kill him. The Greek word for kill here means they'll execute or put me to death. Jesus was not passive or helpless about his appointment with the cross. He intentionally faced it. In fact, in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, it says when the time came, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. In Luke chapter 18, verse 31, he says, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished." You know, and so as we read the words of Jesus and you hear what he's saying, he was going there with the purpose to go and accomplish what he set forth to do on the cross. Jesus didn't just leave them with bad news. See, he told the good news too. He said what? On the third day, what's going to happen? He's going to rise from the dead. A bygone Bible teacher commented on this, where he says, he sugared the bitter pill of his death with the sweetness of his assured resurrection. Note, as we saw here in this verse, they were in verse 23, they were exceedingly sorrowful. They didn't like what he was saying. We remember that Peter tried to rebuke the Lord for saying such a thing, and perhaps that's why in Mark chapter 9, verse 32, but they did not understand this saying, and they were afraid to ask him. They were sorrowful because they were unable to look through the cross to the resurrection. You know, I think that's a good point there to ponder. See, a lot of believers, a lot of want-to-be believers, they just simply want to look at Jesus still hanging on the cross as they go into a church, as they're trying to understand what God's all about. Let me tell you, if you're listening to this and you're new to the Christian faith, or if you're just interested to know more about God, let me tell you to make sure that as you're studying it, that you see the whole story. Because the Bible's real clear, and Jesus was real clear that after 3 days, he rose from the dead. He rose victorious over what? Victorious over sin, and secondly, over death itself. And so the beauty is he's trying to give them some good news. Good news, the fact that we can have eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord, because that's why he was sent. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. And he wasn't going to be deterred or, you know, knocked off track for the things that God had given him to do. That he was the one that was going to pay the price for our redemption. You say, wow, that's a big word. I'm not I haven't caught up with all those big terms like redemption. Well, it's just simply he's going to pay the price for what it costs in order that our sins might be paid for, be forgiven. See, it tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages or the price of our sin is death. It's like we're sitting on death row with no way out. And so the grace of God and the mercy of God said, you know what? I'll take care of that. I'll pay that price. And so he did. The price that had to be paid, he says, the Bible tells us, without the shed blood, there's no remission. There's no forgiveness. There's no, you know, pass, per se, without the shedding of blood. And Jesus says, I'll do that for you. Not only would he extend his mercy to us, but he also will extend grace to us. Can you imagine that? Getting what we don't deserve. He paid for the price, and now he says that we're adopted into the family of God. And being adopted means that we're heirs with God and part of the family of God. We're joint heirs where we are able to receive and enjoy all things. I hope that we start to, even this day as we begin our week or you're out and about, that you'll just think about the marvelous things that Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. You know, as you go forward now in this story, it does tell us how he shifts gears where all of a sudden in reality hit him, where they started to come and question him in Capernaum about taxes of all things. And he says, when they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? It was after that they had come to Capernaum in Galilee that those who received the temple tax approached Jesus about making his payment. Perhaps they asked this question as the disciples entered the city. We don't know that. Why did they come to Peter first? Well, Peter was a resident there in Capernaum, probably knew him. He had lived there and ran his fishing business there before he went on the road with Jesus. Peter was known as a leader amongst his disciples. It was probably that Jesus was staying in Peter's house. So the question concerned temple taxes. We read in verse 24, when they had come to the Capernaum, those who received temple taxes came to Jesus and said, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? What was the temple tax or the tribute money? The Greek word is a dirama, which means 2 denarii, equivalent to about 2 days' wages. Really, that's all it is the temple tax. If you could think of it as 2 days' wages of just a regular worker. It was a tax levied by the Jews with the permissions of the Romans. Remember, they had to get permission from the Roman government because that's who was overseeing the whole nation there in Israel at that time. It was a religious payment that had its origin all the way back in the Old Testament. If you looked at Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 through 16, it'll talk about that, where they were to bring their temple taxes or help to support the work there in the temple. The question had an easy answer. Notice what Jesus says in verse 25. He said, yes. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the king of the earth take custom taxes, from their sons or from a stranger? Peter quickly answered, yes. He had no doubt that Jesus paid the taxes, for he had always done so before. Further, I think Peter was somewhat offended by the questions, as if they had questioned the Lord's integrity. Jesus, of course, initiated the conversation. When Peter spoke to those who collected taxes, it is evident that Jesus was in the house, probably with Peter. After affirming that Jesus indeed would pay the temple tax and return it into his house, it tells us in verse 25 that he really felt for what he was speaking about. Over and over in the gospel, we read that Jesus had a habit of speaking to a person's thought. Otherwise, he anticipated what he was saying. And so Jesus asks a very pitiful, a really poignant question here in verse 25. He says, yes, and when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, what do you think, Simon? For whom did the king of the earth take their custom and taxes, and for their sons or for the strangers? And Peter said, for strangers. And Jesus said to him, then the son are free. Jesus asked, what do you think, Simon? For whom did the kings of the earth take customs and taxes from? In those days, the rulers of the kings of the earth often set the tax standard. And so here we have Jesus in verse 27 saying something I think that's so important for all of us. He says, nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened the mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take and give it to them for me and you. So that amazing miracle. So that we see where Jesus had taken that little piece, that gold coin, and he was able to pay it. As we continue on next week, I want to talk a little bit more, or tomorrow, about this. About how he was doing what was right all the time. Jesus said, I set to do the things that please the Father. And here, a simple coin, a simple paying of a tax, was some way that in this day, at this time, he was doing what was right before God. We never know the little things in our life, how they could shape and mold our character. To seek to do, even in the smallest things, be conscious of God in this day. The things that you do, say, Lord, I want to do things that are right before you. And as you choose to do those things that are right, God in turn will richly bless you. And so until next time, this is Pastor Terry. May God richly bless you. Thank you for taking part in today's program. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Again, that's terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Or you can write us at Agape Chapel, P.O. Box 4023, Huntington Beach, California, 92647. May God richly bless you.